Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
I'm sure that all of you have felt like I do. Why is it that people I know, people I care about, people I love, can't seem to understand the gospel? Why is it that people can't seem to comprehend the simplicity of this story that God sent his one and only son into this world to become a sin offering for us so that we, through faith in him, might have eternal life? I mean, that is such a simple message, and yet so many people have never been able to understand that message. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to turn with me there. And just this word, for those of you maybe new to Fellowship, or maybe this is the first time, or it's been a while since you've been here, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew together, and we've come to chapter 13 and to what is kind of a section where Jesus begins to tell stories. Often they're called parables. A parable, I think by definition, is a window that allows us to see into eternal things or to have an insight to something spiritual. And Jesus used them, and we're going to get into those as we kind of move on from Matthew chapter 13. And I think you're going to really enjoy, especially as we get into the kingdom parables, where Jesus starts describing for us what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. I mean, that's going to be interesting. But the thing about those parables and the one I'm going to read to you today is that many times Jesus would tell a story or a parable and just kind of leave it there. And then they would be left to try to interpret or understand it the best they could. But what we're going to see today is that Jesus not only gives us this parable, but he tells us the meaning of this parable. So let's pick up in verse 1 of Matthew 13. It says, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat beside the sea. And a great crowd gathered around him, so that he got up into a boat, and he sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables. And here's what he said. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Now, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then I love this. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and they said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, so that he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And this is why I speak to them in parables, because watch this, seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And here's what it says. You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can hardly hear. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now watch this. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown along the path. As for the one that was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So what an advantage it is for us today, looking at this parable, to not only have the story, but also to have Jesus' own interpretation of the story so that we don't have to doubt what it was that he meant and what it is that he is teaching to us. I remind you, men and women, that there has never been a teacher like Jesus in all the world, in all of history. There has never been anyone who was better at explaining and teaching things than Jesus was. In fact, the people of the first century acknowledged that. They understood that. In fact, they once said, "We've never heard it like this. We've never heard it like this before." He speaks not like the rabbis, but he speaks with authority. I think Jesus was a master at visualization, not only able to tell stories, but I think Jesus quite often would use images and pictures. In fact, I don't see this in the text, but I do think that Jesus probably saw, as he was in this boat a little way off from the beach, I believe Jesus probably saw a man who was sowing seeds up on the hillside. And I can just imagine Jesus pointing to him as though to say, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow his seed." He was just that good at being able to explain things and be able to teach things. And he used these parables as little windows to give us an opportunity to see and hear things that otherwise we might not be able to see or to hear. And I think that is exactly what he's doing here in this story. You know, Scripture compares itself to seed. We often talk about planting a seed. And in some ways, that's what I'm doing today. I'm planting a seed in your life. And as you listen to it today, it kind of becomes like, how are we listening and how are we hearing? Jesus said, "Let the one who has ears hear." And so like Isaiah said, Jesus recognized that, you know, there are people who see things, but they don't really see them. They hear things, but they don't really hear them. And I think that kind of describes a lot of people that we know, people who hear the word of God, but have not yet received the word of God and have not yet embraced this simple story of salvation that you and I have come to receive. I tell you, if you're here today and you're a believer, you're blessed. You are truly blessed for having received the gospel and have understand the gospel so that you can have this amazing truth. So I really think there are kind of two aspects to this. I think there are those who hear the gospel for the first time or maybe repeatedly over time, and yet their heart is not prepared to receive it. And then there are those of us who have received the gospel. We have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we gather here week in and week out, and we want to grow, and we want to mature, and we want to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so we sit attentively week in and week out, listening and hoping that God would speak to us and that he would say something to us today that we could carry home with us and that will make a difference in our life. Amen? I think that's why we come. I really do. And so to that end, notice that Jesus describes for us four types of soil, or what we might call four types of listeners, okay? And I want to walk with you through those four here this morning. First of all, notice that Jesus describes the hard soil, or the hard ground, which I'm going to note as kind of the calloused listener, the calloused heart. I recognize that many times, you know, people hear the word of God, but their heart has been calloused by things that have happened in their life. And so the seed never really penetrates the soil, and so it never really has a chance to grow in their life. In fact, Jesus kind of describes it as the birds snatching it away before it has opportunity to penetrate the soil. He's talking about the ground that would be under the foot of the person who was sowing the seed, and the weight that they carried would pack the ground down so that it was not able to penetrate the soil, or at least it was more difficult to penetrate the soil. When I was just a kid, my grandfather had a farm out in East Texas, and he had 111 acres, and we would go down there on the weekend, and it was just a boy's dream, you know, to get out of the city, to go down to the country, and just to experience what it was like in deep East Texas. And so he had cattle, and you would notice from the barn out to the pasture, there was usually a little path that the cows had made coming in from the pasture to the barn every time they got fed. And I got to tell you, it always intrigued me that these big animals, you know, these 1,000-pound cattle, you know, would make such a little path as they would make their way from the back pasture to the barn. But you could imagine, should someone try to plant a seed in that path, how difficult it would be for that seed to penetrate that hard soil and to then produce some kind of result. And that's what Jesus is describing by the hard soil or the calloused listener. I think there are several things that can callous us toward the gospel so that it's difficult to penetrate for people who hear it but yet don't hear it. I think one thing that can callous a person is sin. I'm talking about sin that is unconfessed in your life. We all struggle with sin, every one of us. I mean, there's not a person in this room that's perfect and has not sinned. But God has a remedy for our sin. 1 John 1:9 very clearly says that if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and all God's people said. I mean, that's a great promise. That's a wonderful truth that God has given us, that we don't have to worry and deal with that. Just acknowledge it. And really, that's what the word confess means. One thing you know about God, if he's God, you don't have to tell him anything. He already knows it. And so he doesn't need to know you've sinned. You just need to know you've sinned. And so through confession, we're able to acknowledge it and receive God's forgiveness for it. So when we refuse to do that, when we just allow sin to kind of remain in our life unconfessed and unrepented, then we become callous toward the word of God. A second thing that can callous a person is anger. You know, when all you're thinking about is getting even, or how you've been hurt, or what someone's done to you, and you're mad about it, let's be honest, it's hard to receive God's word when your heart is calloused because of anger. A third thing that I would suggest to you is just the hardships of life, the difficulties and things that we go through in life. Write down this verse, Hebrews 12 and verse 15. I'm not going to put that on the screen because we use it a lot around here, but that verse just simply reminds us not to fail by the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and thereby many be defiled. Now, what I think that means, my understanding of that is that in every situation that we deal with in life, God gives us a measure of grace for it. There's this verse in Deuteronomy that basically says, as your days, so will your strength be. And so I've kind of taken that to mean that for every day we live, whether that's a good day or that's a bad day, there's grace for it. There is the appropriate grace for it. And when you receive that grace, in other words, when you go through that situation and you accept God's grace for it, that situation, as bad as it may be, can make you stronger. It can make you better. But if, on the other hand, you resist God's grace, the appropriate grace for what you're going through, and you just kind of bow your neck and you just resist that, what was intended to make you better will end up making you bitter. And I think that's what he's talking about. When our hearts have been bitter because of the things that have happened to us. It's hard to receive God's word. I mean, before you know it, it's just kind of laying there, and Satan will come and he will snatch it away before it has a chance to penetrate and work in our life. I think that's why Jesus says, let the one who has ears hear. Because it's possible to be in this room listening, but not really hearing. It's possible to be here today seeing, but yet not really receiving. And I think a lot of people struggle with that from time to time. Satan just has this masterful way of, you know, kind of recognizing that the hard, calloused heart is not receiving God's word, and he snatches it away before it has a chance. All right, here's the second one. The second kind of soil or listener we're talking about this morning is what Jesus referred to as rocky ground. And I would kind of classify that as the emotional listener. And based on what Jesus said in his interpretation of it, I think that's right. That this is the emotional listener. This is the seed that goes into the soil and it immediately, it just pops up and you have this plant, you know, immediately on the surface. And yet because there's no root, because there's no really foundation to it, what happens is it gets blown away or it gets disturbed and it's gone. I think probably all of us know someone that kind of fits in that category. You know, in 49 years of being a pastor and having grown up in church and having watched this thing, you know, for all of my life, I can tell you that there are a lot of people who kind of give evidence that they're really going to be followers of Christ. They get so excited. I mean, they come to faith in Christ, and then in a month, you can't find them. In a year, you can't find them. I mean, what happened to them? I think Satan is masterful at taking the emotional listener and doing everything he can to just kind of knock it out from underneath them, so that because there's no root, because there's no solid growth below the surface, what's on top of the surface just kind of gets washed away. That's why, men and women, I want to remind you that emotions can only get you so far in your faith. Emotions will only take you so far. It's like the man who said one day he loved his wife so much he could eat her up, and the next day he wished he did. You know, emotions change. Emotions don't always stay the same. And something miraculous may have brought you to Christ, but listen to this, it won't keep you with Christ. I mean, if you had one of those experiences that is undeniable that God was using to bring you to faith, rejoice in that, but don't trust that to keep you solid in your faith and in your foundation for Christ. Because the Bible says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, watch this, to deceive the elect. He loves nothing more than to find that person, you know, who just has all this enthusiasm and this excitement, and just can't wait. And because there's nothing solid below the surface, what's above the surface doesn't last. The third kind of ground that Jesus talks about here, he talks about thorny ground. And this is, in my mind, the distracted listener. In fact, Jesus kind of talks about that. He talks about how that this person is distracted by, first of all, the cares of this world. Now, let's be honest. There's not a person in this room doesn't have something that they're probably thinking about for now, you know, right? I mean, I got to do this afternoon. Boy, I got this meeting this week. I mean, all these things planned. And the cares of this world, they weigh heavy on us. And I get it, man. I understand it. You can't live a life of isolation to the point that you can't care about things that are going on in your life, in your family, and all of those things. I get that. But if we could just, for the moment, put those things aside, if we could just take those things and put them on the back burner and come in here Sunday after Sunday and not be distracted by the cares of this world, I promise you, we will leave a whole lot better. We will leave a whole lot more fruitful if we can just displace those things for just 30 minutes so that we can focus on what God has to say. The cares of this world, they weigh heavy on all of us. And yet if we're going to see God's word produce 100-fold or 60 or even 30 in our life, we're going to have to get the distractions out and get the word of God in. Notice he also compares that to the riches of this world. And we understand that money, you know, just has this gravitational pull on us to kind of get us thinking about that. Who can't not think about all the responsibility? I tell people, I don't need money. Look, I do not need money, but the people I owe want theirs. You understand that, right? I don't need it, but all the people I owe, they want theirs. And in fact, they hound me for it all the time. So money is nothing that I need, but the people I owe, they want theirs. And so money can be that draw that kind of pulls us in the direction that keeps us from really focusing and listening and hearing God's word. So whether you're an unbeliever hearing the gospel for the first time, or whether you're a follower of Christ this morning that has been serving the Lord this morning, as you are listening, what kind of listener are you? I've told you before that when I was in my teens, before my parents moved to Heath, we used to go to Lake Texoma, and we didn't go there like most families to fish or to, you know, ski and play in the water. We went to garden. That's right. My parents had, when they built their house in Heath, they built an extra space for a garden because they loved to garden. And I can just tell you from experience, you can't plant something where a lot of stuff exists. You got to get all that out. You got to weed all of that out so that you can get the soil prepared and ready, or else it will choke it away. And the same thing is true with how we receive God's word. If all we can think about is what I have to do this afternoon or what I have to do tomorrow, I mean, you may be sitting in this room, you are hearing, but you're not hearing. All right, that brings me to the final thing then, and that's what I think we're all striving for, and that's the good ground that Jesus is talking about here. What I have called the attentive listener, the person who hears and receives the word, and because the soil is ready for the seed, I mean, it produces 100-fold or 60 or 30, but it produces something in our life because we're ready to hear it. Are you ready to hear God's word today? Again, we are so blessed. I want to show you this verse. We'll get to it in a few weeks when we get to chapter 16. And I know I showed you this a few weeks ago, but it's just too good not to point out every once in a while, because it just reminds us that if we're followers of Christ today, in regard to what I said earlier about so many people who don't get it, if you do get it, you are so blessed. And here's how it came about. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus came to his disciples and he asked them this question. He said, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" In other words, what are people saying about me? Tell me, you hear the scuttle, tell me, what are they saying? And so their reply was, well, there's some that say you're John the Baptist, others say you're Elijah, it's been said you're Jeremiah, or you're one of the prophets. Which what I found fascinating about that is that those people were dead. They were dead, and yet was he reincarnated into this? That's what they're thinking. But look at what Jesus said. But who do you say? Who do you say? What do you say about? That's all that matters. It's not really important what everybody else thinks, but what do you think? And here's what Peter said. You are the Christ. Amen. You are the Son of the living God. And here's what Jesus said. Blessed are you, Simon. Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. If you come to understand that Jesus was more than a great teacher, Jesus was more than just a great miracle worker. But if you've come to understand that Jesus is the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, who came and paid a debt you could never pay, then you are blessed. You are blessed. That's what we're talking about. You are blessed. So In closing this morning, I just want to say to you, how do you prepare to hear? How do you prepare to listen week in and week out when you come here? And I get it. This is not the only time, hopefully, that you are hearing God's word. Hopefully you're reading it, you know, sometime during the week. Maybe you're tuned in to a preacher you like, but you're hearing it. And so when you hear God's word, let me give you these three things. Number one, pray. The first thing I would tell you, before you ever sit down or expose yourself to the teaching of God's word, pray. Prepare your heart by praying over what you are about to hear. I don't think that should be minimized. I know prayer is always the spiritual answer. You know, I ask my kids or grandkids, what should we do? Pray. That's always the answer, right? It's a Sunday school answer. Pray. But I'm serious. Pray before you ever come to hear God's word. Pray over what you are about to hear. Pray for me. God knows I need it. I mean, pray for me that as I present the word, that I'll present it as it is written, as it is truly God's word. Pray before you receive God's word. Number two, remove the distractions. The best of your ability, put those things somewhere else, at least for the 30 minutes that we are gathered here and we are listening to God's word. Remove those distractions. Try to put those somewhere else, if just for that little time, so that you can hear and you can receive. And the seed that is sown in your heart will be ready to receive it. And then here's the most important of all. Commit to obey what you hear. Commit to obey what you hear. Jared tells us every time he preaches, I think, he tells us, don't worry about all these things. You know, you got this list of things I got to do. Just one thing. What one thing can you work on today? What one thing could God maybe be saying to you today that you could commit to obey? It is so important that we commit to obey whatever God says. We're going to obey whatever God says. Watch this. That will make even the most laborious sermon more interesting. Hey, I get it. I get this. You don't have to pretend with me. There are Sundays when I stand up here and I say, finally, and you're like, what? He just got up there. I mean, how could this already be over? I mean, you've been so in-tuned and you've just been so prepared and the message was just right there. And it's like, gosh, it can't be over. And watch this. There are weeks I've been up here 5 minutes and you're thinking, is he ever going to stop? Is he ever going to quit? Man, I mean, it's never been more boring than what he's doing today. There are days like that. I get it. I understand that. And what will make even those days more fruitful is if in your mind you're committed to say, God, whatever you teach me today, I'm going to do it. Whatever you lead me to do today, I'm going to do it. And so I'm eager to hear, what is it? What is that one thing that God may be encouraging you today, that this is the one area of my life that I want to work on? I'm going to commit. Because I heard a guy say one time, you do what you believe. Everything else is just talk. You do what you believe. Everything else is just talk. And so commit to obey whatever it is that God may be leading you today to do. Maybe that's to examine the callousness of your heart and admit, Lord, I've been callous because of these things that the pastor talked about today. I've allowed sin in my life, my desire to do something over your desire to remove it. Commit to obey. I'm going to get that out of my life. I'm going to deal with this anger that is, you know, keeping my heart from being tender. I'm going to deal with it and get rid of it. I'm going to finally, once and for all, remove these distractions that keep me from really hearing and receiving and allowing God's word to be as deep under the surface as it is above the surface. So whatever it is, commit to obey whatever God is encouraging you and leading you to do. Be that kind of listener. And I promise you, you will look forward to when the word of God is open. Man, I know because I've experienced this sometimes. You know, you've had a week, one of those weeks, you know, one of those days that you just can't get it all done and yet you're convicted. I hadn't read the Bible yet. And I've committed. I'm going to read the Bible, you know, January 1st. I'm going to read through the Bible. I'm going to do this. So I got to read the Bible. And watch this. I much prefer that you be hurried and read it than not read it. So let me just be clear about that. Don't let that be an excuse not to read it. But if that's the challenge that you're facing, then I encourage you to get in a quiet place, pray a little bit, get rid of those things that are distracting you from hearing what God is saying to you today. And then more than anything else, commit that I'm going to obey God. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow him today. I'm going to be obedient to him today, whatever he may be telling you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for the simplicity of this story. It really is a great reminder, Lord, of how I've treated you so many times, how I've responded when you've spoken. I've heard, but I didn't really hear. I saw, but I didn't really see, and I didn't understand. And yet, I don't think a day goes by that you're not teaching us something and you're showing us something. We learn so much about ourselves, Lord, not through the victories we win, but through the hardships we endure. You show us so much. And so I know there are people in this room, Lord, that have been going through some challenges. We have people in our church who are going through some health issues, and I know others with financial responsibilities and job situations, and some with children, and God, I mean, just too numerous to name. But Lord, I know that in the midst of all of that, you have a word for us. You're speaking, and we can't understand it because of all the noise that's going on around us. And so if just for these few moments, in this next few moments, we could just quieten ourselves, ask ourselves, what's the one thing today that you've taught us, that you've revealed to us, that you've shown me, that you'd have me to respond to? And I pray that we'll say yes. I pray that every person in this room will say yes. Maybe there's somebody here today, Lord, that's not saved, never been born again. Don't even know what that means. But you're tugging at their heart today to hear the gospel, the simple gospel. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and on the third day rose again. And he wants to give you the gift of eternal life. Others who are just dealing with some things, Lord, that are happening right now, that if you don't get involved, they don't know what they're going to do. I pray that they've been able to hear your voice, whatever that might be today. So you have your will. You accomplish what you want today. And we'll praise you for it, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.